In far northwest Iran, a few minutes after clearing the city limits of Tabriz, Rahim maneuvered his vehicle onto a rutted side road. When he popped open the trunk of the car to let me out, I saw the car was hidden from the main highway by a small grove of trees. In spite of our seclusion, Rahim said he was still anxious about being seen by a military convoy from the nearby Tabriz missile base. For the first time in several hours, I uncurled from my fetal position and climbed out of the vehicle, grateful to breathe some fresh air and feel the sunshine on my face. As my feet landed on the rocky terrain, Rahim handed me a black wooden cane. I wanted to wave it off, but regrettably, I still needed some help getting around on my bum leg. Rahim slammed the trunk lid down hard. "You can stretch for a few minutes," he said, "but then we must get back on the road immediately. Our timing must be perfect at the border." Rahim and I were headed for the Iranian-Turkish border, specifically the border crossing at Bazargan, Iran. He was absolutely confident he could get me out of Iran without any problems. However, during the last 20 years, I'd had a couple of incidents at other border crossings, Pakistan and Syria to be precise, so I wasn't optimistic. While Rahim was tinkering with the car's engine, I exercised my legs and worked out the stiffness in my arms. As usual, I was running through several what-ifs in my mind. What if the border guard searched the trunk? What if the car broke down? What if we were driving right into a trap? I might have felt better about any of these scenarios had either of us been armed. However, Rahim had refused to bring along a weapon. Carrying a gun in Iran without a special permit meant certain imprisonment. Imprisonment in Iran meant certain torture, so I certainly understood his reasons for leaving the weaponry back in Tehran. Still, a gun might have helped my nerves. I was surprised to hear Rahim say I could ride in the front passenger seat for the next hour. He explained the road ahead was usually deserted, except for a farm truck or two, so it seemed the perfect time to give me a brief respite from my cramped quarters. I didn't argue with him. However, I thought Rahim was being overly cautious having me ride in the trunk in the first place, at least until we got nearer the Turkish border. I'd been passing myself off as an Iranian of mixed ancestry back in Tehran, and now, having grown out my beard, I didn't believe a passing motorist would give me a second look. When I climbed in the front seat, the cloying smell of ripe apples emanating from the back seat of Rahim's vehicle was especially pungent. Flat boxes of golden apples were piled almost as high as the back window, and the sweet-smelling fruit permeated the stuffy interior of the car. On the floorboard, there were several packages wrapped in colorful wedding paper. I was sure they reeked of ripe apples. We had been back on the road for about 20 minutes when Rahim said, "Hand me one of those apples and take one for yourself, Hamid." Although Rahim knew my true identity, he continued to address me by the name on my Swiss passport, Hamid Salimi, the passport I'd used to enter Iran 2 years ago. Unfortunately, it was now a name quite familiar to Vivek, the Iranian secret police who had already prepared a cell for me at Evin Prison in northwest Tehran. After we had both devoured the apples, Rahim rolled down his window and threw the cores down a steep embankment. "When you get back inside the trunk," he said, "you'll have to share your space with some of those." He gestured toward the apple boxes in the back seat. I glanced over at him to see if he was joking, but as usual, his brown, weather-beaten face remained impassive. Although I'd spent the last 3 months living with Rahim's nephew, Javad, and learning to discern Javad's emotional temperature simply by the set of his mouth or the squint of his eyes, I'd barely spent any time with Rahim. During the last 2 days together, he'd never made any attempt at humor, and it didn't appear he was about to start now. I protested, "There's barely enough room for me back there." "It will be snug with the boxes, but you will fit," he said. "If the guards open the trunk, I want them to see apples." I felt a sudden flash of anger. "Before we left Tehran, you told me they wouldn't open the trunk at the border. You said they wouldn't even search the car." My voice sounded harsh and loud in the small confines of the car. However, Rahim calmly replied, "They will not search the car, Hamid. They have never searched inside. They have never searched the trunk. It is only a precaution."